Thanks for listening. The following is an audio presentation from High Country Christian Church. For more information, please visit www.highcountrychristian.com.
We've been talking about faith, haven't we? Yes, who's got faith in here? Amen. You got mustard seed faith? Anybody? Hallelujah. Jesus said, if you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you'll speak over this bush and it'll move. And he said in Mark chapter 11, we're going to go there in just a minute. He spoke about mountains. And he said, if you'll speak to a mountain, the mountain will have to get out of your way. Amen. You know, Jesus said that. I didn't say that. Right? I just want to make sure that we're clear on something. Jesus said that, right? Not Josh Thurman. He was the one that did two things. Gave you the authority to speak. He's giving you permission in this verse to speak to obstacles. And the second thing he did was he was the one that said the obstacle has no choice but to get out of your way. Amen. He was the one that gave you the badge, the authority, and he's the one that makes sure that the mountain has to obey you. Yeah. I have children. They don't always obey me. A lot of times they do. They're pretty good kids. Sometimes they disobey me. Mountains are not allowed to disobey you. Selah. Mountains don't have an option when you speak to them. Why? Because the head of the church said so. Because the one that has all authority in all heaven and earth said so. The mountain can look at you and stare at you. The obstacle can be in your face, trying to stare you down. But it has to move when you speak because Jesus said so. I hear this with my children. When one of them says to the other, we have to go do this. We have to go into the living room. Why? Because daddy said so. Why? Because mommy said so. Or this one's even better. Claire, I want you to clean up your toys. Why? Because I said so, right? What, how many of you think we need our children to have a little more because I said so in their life, right? Praise God. I work with some people who are much younger than me, and they have a hard time with this. They were not raised in the kind of environment I was raised in, where it's because I said so. And you just do what you do because daddy said so. The mountain has to move because Jesus said so. And he gave you the ability and the authority to say to the mountain, get out of my way. We said last week, before Jesus gives us the authority to speak to the mountain, he demonstrates how this works by talking to a fig tree, right? He demonstrates how this works by speaking to a fig tree. I said this, what works on fig trees works on mountains and everything in between. The size of the problem is irrelevant. The size of the obstacle that you and I face is totally irrelevant. I'm not trying to downplay a challenge that you may have. What I'm trying to do is put it in perspective for you. I'm not trying to say, oh, don't be a baby, you don't really have any problems. What I am trying to say is that your problems, though they be present, are no match for your faith. Come on, y'all, talk to me. Your problems, though they be there, are no match for your faith. You can do anything God says you can do. Jesus believes that when you talk to mountains, mountains move. When are we gonna believe what Jesus believes about us? When are we gonna believe what Jesus already believes about us? I'm not saying it because I think I'm great. I'm saying it because I think he's awesome and he lives in me. And he gave me authority and ability to speak. Amen. Let me review a couple scriptures that we looked at. First one is in 1 John 5. 1 John 5. Verse Verse 1 of 1 John 5 says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Do you believe Jesus is the Christ? So that means you're born of God, right? Yeah. We got to get this established first before we can get to verse 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's you. Here, let's do this exercise. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, raise your hand. That means you're born of God, right? Now keep your hand up. Don't put your hand down. Look at verse 4. Whatever is born of God, you lifted your hand saying that you believe Jesus is the Christ, so you're born of God, right? This is like first grade math, okay? You lifted your hand saying, I'm born of God. Now verse 4, whatever's born of God overcomes the world. Everybody with their hands lifted is an overcomer. Everybody with their hands lifted qualifies to walk by faith and not by sight, amen? All right, you can put your hands down. Let's keep reading. I know that was real tiring for you guys. I really just want to just bless you, and I speak strength to your shoulder right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Whatever is born of God, Josh is laughing, that's great. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, that's you. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. I said this last week, our faith has already been battle tested. It's already overcome the world. Jesus already walked by faith when he triumphed over death, hell, and the grave, and made you a victorious person, took you with him, and sat down at the right hand of God. You've already got everything you need, bless God. It's already on the inside of you. You need more faith? It's already there. You need more grace? It's already there. You need more encouragement? It's already there. You need more hope? It's already there. You need more love? It's already there. You need more peace? It's already there. Sorry, I'm getting a little excited. It's already there. God already put everything you need on the inside of you the instant you got saved. And he didn't just stop there. He seated you with him in heavenly places, right next to God. You're sitting next to God this morning. You're seated with him. How much higher could you get? Amen. If you're waiting for life to change, it ain't going to change until you change it by faith. If you're waiting for circumstances to fall into place, it's not going to happen until you make it happen by faith. Right? If you're believing God for a breakthrough, that breakthrough is up to you. Amen. Am I saying that God's not sovereign? No, of course not. God's the boss. But in his sovereignty, he set some things in place. In his divine wisdom, he went ahead and gave you the keys to a few things. If you want to drive the car, get in and drive it. Nobody, God's not holding anything back from you and I. He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, the scripture says. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. The only thing that needs to happen is we need to learn how to rise up by faith and take what belongs to us, receive it, and walk in it. And here's the deal. It's not about us, lest we should boast, like Jonathan read from Ephesians 2. It's all about how good God has been and what he's made available to us. And when we operate by faith and a miracle happens, who gets the glory? He does. But when we don't walk by faith and no miracles happen, who gets the blame? God does. All people run around all the time, well, I don't know why God's doing this to me. I was praying at the beginning of this year, holding up before the Lord some prayers and some things I'm believing God for in my life, personally, in my family, and in this church. And I said, Lord, this is what I'm believing you for. The Holy Spirit interrupted my prayer. I like when that happens, sometimes. The Holy Spirit interrupted my prayer. He said these words, it happens by faith or it doesn't happen. And then he stopped talking. He said, it happens by faith or it doesn't happen. That's the reality for a lot of our lives. That's the reality for all of our lives, quite frankly. It happens by faith or it doesn't happen. We've been given, put that verse 4 back up there if you would, please. We've been given faith that has been battle tested. This is the victory that has overcome the world. even our faith. Your faith is not inferior. Amen. You've been given the same faith that Jesus operated in when he went to the cross. The same spirit, the Bible says, that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. The same substance dwells in us. God hasn't given us an inferior, junior Holy Spirit. Amen. He hasn't given it. The Bible says this same anointing lives and abides in you. It dwells in you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us we have the mind of Christ. We don't have inferior God substance. We have the same power, the same anointing, the same things put on the inside. We have the same word that the apostles had. Yeah, amen. We got the same Bible that people had, that people have been reading for years. The same substance that was at work in the Apostle Paul. Is that work in you? You're the same new creation just like he was. Now, the calling on your life is different. The time in history that you were born is different. But the Holy Spirit hasn't changed. And you and I don't have an inferior version of him. Amen. We got the goods. We got the goods to do the will of God. Our faith's already been battle-tested and proven successful. Now, if you would go with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. I suppose I'll turn there too if I'm telling you guys to turn there. Mark chapter 11. Everybody doing okay? Good. Hallelujah. I expect you to go home stirred up, more excited than when you came. Remember, Paul met with Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he was transformed. You can't meet Jesus and leave in the same way. Amen. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus answered and said, "Have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be thou removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will come to pass, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you will have them." Notice who is not mentioned in this scripture. Verse 23 and verse 24. Notice who's not mentioned in this scripture. God. Who's not mentioned in verse 23? God, right? Jesus isn't in there. The Holy Ghost is not talked about. The Father is not mentioned. Who's mentioned? You. You and your mouth. Okay? This is why the psalmist David said, "Put a guard over my lips," right? This is why he said, "I have hid my word in thy word in my heart that I might not sin against you." How do you sin against God? When you talk contrary to what his word has already said. Glory to God. When we talk in violation of what his promise has already said, we sin against God. That's why the psalmist was serious. He said, put a guard over my mouth. I don't want to speak contrary to what your word says. The Bible talks about if we are offended, in Hebrews it says, if you are offended, lie not against the truth. If we're offended, don't lie against what the truth says. If you're fighting sickness in your body and you're frustrated and offended by that sickness, don't speak contrary to what the Bible says about it. Because when you speak, listen, whatever you speak to, you empower. Okay? Whatever you speak to in your life, you empower it. Okay? This is a spiritual principle that was taught and preached to us from the scripture. Now, there have been people in modern culture, in modern religion, in New Age Eastern thinking, that have taken those principles and tried to operate in them apart from the blood of Jesus. So you'll hear people talk, you know, you'll hear, you know, spiritualist people talk about, you know, speaking and, you know, the law of attraction. You know what I'm talking about? The law of attraction. If you just emanate the desires you want, the universe will draw them to you. Listen, that's a perversion of something that is true. Okay, so don't get offended at what they say just because they're saying it apart from the blood of Jesus. Go back to the source and find out what the Bible says. When you speak, you have whatever you say. That is a spiritual principle created by God, instituted by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and given to the church as a tool to preach the gospel. Okay, so even though the world tries to distort it, listen, every time there's a counterfeit, it means there's an original. Every time you see a counterfeit, don't get offended at the counterfeit. Find what the original is. Every time, listen, if you saw a $100 bill that was counterfeit, would you get mad at the U.S. Treasury? Can you believe this U.S. Treasury printing all this money? And here this guy has counterfeited it. I'm not going to stop using $100 bills just because I found a bad one. Don't get offended and lie against the truth. When you see something that's been abused in the world, recognize that there is an actual version of it in the Word. Go back to the Scripture and recognize that Jesus said, you're going to have whatever you say. Go back to verse 23 if you would. Oh, it's already there. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. This is a spiritual principle. Furthermore, Jesus, in the book of Matthew, went on to tell us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever, this is the way I like to say it, whatever you're full of is going to come out of your mouth. Whatever your heart is full of is going to, like a volcano, just come out. So if you're full of anger and you stub your toe, guess what's coming out? Right? If you're full of offense and somebody says, hi, how you doing? It's going to come out. They could be saying, hi, it's nice to see you today. Oh, you didn't wear the blue jacket? And then you're going to go, that person is mad that I wore this gray jacket. And then you're going to get frustrated with them for the rest of the day. If you're full of offense, offense is going to come out. Even when people who are trying to do something nice, do something nice, and you misinterpret it. Can I talk about offense for a second? Can I go there? Can I go there for just a second? Do you know what the word offense is in the Scripture? It's the word scandalon in the Greek. Can you guess what English word we get from that? It's the word scandalon in the Greek. The word the word scandalon is a word that describes the trigger of a trap. When you would set a trap for a bird or a squirrel or something like that, there's bait attached to a trigger. And when you grab the bait and hit the trigger, the trap closes. The trigger is the word scandalon, and it's the word for offense. When you and I bite down on the trigger of offense, we get trapped. And guess what happens when we get trapped? We get frustrated. And the more we struggle while we're offended, the worse the trap gets and the tighter that thing squeezes. Did you ever see a fish try to get out of a net? It ain't pretty. Guess who put itself there? The fish. When you bite down on a fence, you get trapped. Don't take the bait. Don't do it. Choose to speak words that agree with this book. Amen? Sorry, that was my offense. No, I'm not sorry. That was my offense soapbox. Let's get back to happy faith. You know why I say that? Because I see it everywhere around me. I see it in my own self. I get offended at myself in the mirror, shaving sometimes. I mean, I just see the offense is always present. It's the tool the devil uses to get you out of faith. To get you out from right standing with God, where your life is in beautiful alignment with the will of God. And all of a sudden, this little scandalon comes along, and we grab it, we snatch at it, and then we get trapped. And then we gotta have the Holy Spirit come and cut us out of the trap and fix it. Guess what? He's happy to. The devil, or the Holy Ghost, never gets tired of helping you out of a jam. He never does. He's the God of grace. I mean, he's the God of mercy. He never gets tired of cutting us out of a jam. But he'd prefer that we don't get in them. Right? I'll never get tired of holding my baby while she's crying because she did something I told her not to do and she realized it hurt her and that's why I told her not to do it. I'll never get tired of soothing my child. But it would be awesome if they just listened the first time. Right? And all the parents said, amen. Right? Hallelujah. God. Do you think it's any different for our Heavenly Father? Wouldn't it be better if we just didn't do what he told us not to do? Don't get offended. Amen. All right, back to faith. If we speak to the mountain has to move. Now let's go to verse 24. I couldn't get to verse 24 and I almost can't get to it this morning. I tried to get to verse 24 last week, but check this out. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, I want you to notice the broadness of the language Jesus uses concerning what you're praying for. Does Jesus qualify? Does he qualify what you're supposed to pray for in this scripture? No, he says, whatever you ask. Whatever. That's very trusting. That's very trusting of Jesus to entrust to us whatever we ask him for. I want you to think about that for a second. The head of the church trusts you with his will. The head of the church trusts you with his resources. The head of the church trusts you with his authority. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority in all of heaven and earth has been given to me. And then he said, go therefore and preach the gospel. We heard about it from Jonathan. Go to every corner of the globe. Jesus entrusts you with his authority. He entrusts you with his name. We get so desensitized to some things. We pray over our dinner. Bless this food in Jesus' name. Amen. We just, in Jesus' name, just rolls off the tongue. Because we've been desensitized to the potency of Jesus' name. Jesus' name is the only name given unto men by which men must be saved. It is the greatest name. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses that he's Lord when they hear that name. And, you know, somehow it just becomes the close of our lunch prayer. Well, Lord, thank you for this day. We hope that everything we say and do gives glory to you. Bless this food and the hands that prepared it. In Jesus' name, amen. Is that about right? I mean, does that pretty much cover it? That's how we do Jesus' name. But his name is the greatest name. I mean, there's the cancer's a name that has to grovel at the feet of Jesus. Demons have to grovel and press themselves low to the ground when the name of Jesus comes around. His authority is greater than any other authority under heaven by which men must be saved. The name of Jesus, and he gives you that name. He trusted you so much that he said, whatever you ask when you pray, if you believe that you receive it, you'll have it. If you believe, you receive, and you ask in his name, you have it. Verse 23, I think this is very important for us to clarify. Verse 23 tells the story of us speaking to the obstacle. There's nowhere in Scripture that God wants us to talk to Him about the mountain. Yet that's the structure that we build into our prayer language, into our prayer life. We get together in groups and talk about, have you seen the mountain? Have you seen how big the mountain is? We get in, we start to face some problem and call the prayer team. Let's have a meeting about the mountain. And we live in a culture of achievement, so we've been taught to climb the mountain. No mountain high, no valley too low. I believe I can fly. You know what I'm talking about. No, nothing, not nothing on that one, huh? That's okay. All right, never mind. We've been taught that if you can believe it, you can achieve it. That's not the Bible. The Bible is, if you can believe it and receive it, you can have it. But we've been taught to climb the mountain. Well, there's an obstacle in my way. I better find my way around it or scale it somehow. And we get all excited and we try to scale the mountain. And then what happens is the mountain beats us and we say, why, God? But you never were called to scale the mountain. You were called to speak to it and tell it to get out of my way. Amen. So again, the clarity that I want to bring here, the thing I want to speak to is verse 23 is about us telling the obstacle to get out of the way. Verse 24 is about us asking things of God once the mountain's gone. If you had cancer, if somebody gave you a terrible diagnosis of cancer, the way that Mark 11, 23 and 24 teaches us to deal with that is to tell cancer to get off your body and then ask God, Lord, I believe I receive healing and I have it. So many times we go to God asking Him to get rid of something for us. And He says, that's not the order that I established. I gave you my name. Use it. Tell the cancer to get out of the way and then believe and receive for your healing to come in place of what the enemy was trying to do in your life. Notice, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. I used this analogy a while back, but I think it's a good one. How many of you have ordered from Amazon in the last 2 weeks? Pretty much everybody, right? I mean, you can pretty much get your groceries on Amazon these days. When you are an Amazon Prime member and you go and buy that pack of razor blades or whatever, you know, or whatever it is that you're buying, you expect that it's going to get to you in 2 days, right? That's the way it's set up. On day one, do you go and reorder it? No, that would be dumb, right? Why? Because you know I paid for it. I believe, I trust that it's on its way. And I'm going to be patient until it arrives. This is why Paul says in Ephesians 6, having done all to stand, stand, therefore, in the grace. When I place the order on Amazon, I click OK. I know that it's done. When you believe, you receive when you pray. Notice the language here. For assuredly I say to you, I need to be in verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when? Talk to me. When? When you pray. Whatever things you're asking God when you're praying, Whatever things you're ordering from Amazon, when you're on Amazon.com, you believe you receive. You click and say, that's what I'm after. I believe that I receive when I pray, and then I will have them. Please, please don't allow the analogy to cheapen the reality of what Jesus is saying. It's just an analogy to help us understand. When we pray, we believe we receive. We believe it's done. Amen? When you pray, don't go back on what you prayed. Believe that it's done. I'll give you an example. My daughter, Sophia, a lot of you heard this miracle testimony we had. My daughter Sophia was born with a click in her left leg. And we went, right leg, or her hip. She's born with a click in her hip. We went to the doctor for her regular checkup, and they're doing, I call it the chicken move, where they lay them on the table, and it's like fixing a raw chicken. And they're just moving the legs and moving around to listen. And they're hearing a click in her hip. And so we ask, I wasn't even there for this. My wife was there. She called me all upset because she said, they found a click in Sophia's hip. And the doctor says, if we don't fix it, if we don't go see the specialist and fix it, then she could have to wear a brace for the rest of her life. And in the most extreme cases, she might not even be able to walk. Don't you love when doctors give you great news? And I have nothing against doctors, but we always seem to jump to the worst case scenario of everything, right? Yeah, anyways, I'll leave that alone. But she was calling me. She was very upset. And so I said, all right, well, here's what we're going to do. Thank God for spouses that know how to pray. Say amen to that. Thank God for prayer partners that know how to get in the trenches with you in a moment's notice. We said, okay, time out. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray and we're going to believe. So we prayed. We said, in Jesus' name, we believe Sophia is to be healed. And I said, okay, that's it. Hang up the phone. See you when you get home. Love you. Bye. About 10 minutes later, I'm washing my dishes, because I'm a good husband, and I'm washing my dishes, I got gloves on, you know, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me just as clear as day. He said, I want you to believe me for a creative miracle in Sophia's hip. There's a difference between a healing and a miracle. Miracle is oftentimes something creative that happens. Healing is when, you know, the disease leaves. A miracle is like you didn't have an arm and one grew out. That's a miracle, right? That's more than just a healing. So the Holy Spirit said, I want you to believe for a creative miracle in Sophia's hip. I stopped what I was doing, turned the water off. I stopped and I prayed and I said, Father, in Jesus' name, I believe I receive, these are the exact words I prayed. I believe I receive a creative miracle in Sophia's hip in Jesus' name. Amen. I turned, I looked at my stove. It was 1:11 on the clock. I made note of the date. I wrote it down on the closest piece of paper that I had. At 1:11 on such and such a date, I believed I received a creative miracle in Sophia's hip. I hung that on my bathroom mirror and I never prayed about it again. Never. Why? Because I believed I received when I prayed. Why would I ask God again for the thing I already believe is on the way to me? Why would I go back to Amazon on day one and go, I haven't gotten the razor blades yet. Do I need to place another order? But that's what we do with our prayer. We ask God for something, and when we don't see it 43 seconds later, we ask him for it again. And then we start begging. Parents, how crazy would it be if your child came home and said they were hungry and knelt down by the fridge and hugged the fridge and wailed, oh, parent, mommy, daddy, please, please give me some food. What if you were a kind parent and you said, okay, and you handed them a piece of toast? And then they set the piece of toast 3 feet away from him on the table and said, I really want my toast. Oh, please, mighty, precious Father, Mother, please grant them to me that I would eat the toast. You're like, honey, has somebody hit you in the head? Did you get hurt on the way home from school? Are you all right? How crazy would it be for your child to not receive what you freely give them? Yeah. But that's what we do. We pray, we don't see it 9 seconds later, and we start to beg and grovel. You're not the one supposed to grovel. The devil's supposed to grovel. He's the one that's supposed to press his forehead to the floor at the name of Jesus. You've been given that name to change the world. He's been given that name to fall down in front of. Mountains have to respond to that name by moving. Don't pray crazy, goofy prayers like that. Oh, dear God, I beg you, God of heaven and earth. You know, and then we start doing like, we pull out all the Old Testament things we can find. Great, mighty, you know, the Rose of Sharon. You know, we start, Jehovah Jireh. You know, we beseech thee, O mighty, precious. Just talk to God. He's your dad. Father, I believe I receive this right now. When it gets here, I'll rejoice. And you know what? I'll rejoice before it gets here because I believe I receive it. And then don't talk to him about it anymore. The only person you should talk to about a prayer that you've already prayed is the devil. I was hearing the testimony. Y'all doing okay? I'm going to shut it down in just a second. I was heard the testimony just yesterday of a preacher that I respect. Has gone on to be with the Lord. He was healed of an incurable heart disease when he was 13 years old. And years later, he was preaching somewhere in Texas. And it was the middle of the night, like 1:30 in the morning. And he started having these heart symptoms that he had way back when he was healed, you know, prior to being healed as a little boy. And he said, the devil came and spoke to me and said, this time you're not going to get healed, preacher. This time it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. And you know what he did? I love this. He didn't even pray about it. He pulled the covers over his head. He was saying he was staying at the parsonage with the pastor and he didn't want to wake anybody up. But he said, I'm having like serious, the same conditions that I was healed from as a boy. So he knew what they were like. He said, I pulled the covers over my head and I started to laugh. And he said, I didn't feel like laughing. He said, I just put it on. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. And he laughed and he laughed and he laughed. And he said, then the devil came and talked to me. He said, this time you're not going to get it, preacher. Why are you laughing? And he said, I'm laughing at you, Mr. Devil. He called him Mr. Devil. He said, Mr. Devil, I'm laughing at you. Why are you laughing? Because Jesus' stripes healed me on Calvary long time ago. I'm not trying to get healed. I am healed. And so he kept on laughing and kept on laughing. And the devil kept coming, you know, the devil kept whispering to his mind, why are you laughing? You ain't going to get healed this time. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And he said, I'm not trying to get healed. I'm laughing at you, Mr. Devil, because Jesus already healed me. Finally, he said the enemy came again, you know, kept whispering to his mind. Finally, he said he turned on the light and he said, I opened my Bible. He said, Mr. Devil, I don't know if you can read or not, but just in case you can't, let me read it for you. And he flipped over to 1 Peter 2:24. Who bore my sicknesses and my disease on the cross, by whom stripes I am healed. He said, when I read it from the word, the symptoms stopped. He never prayed. All he did was believe that he received. It's not that he was against prayer. He knew, I didn't have to. This was already settled with God. And the enemy's trying to push me around on it. So all I'm going to do when I've already believed and I've already received and I've already established it with God, the only person I'm going to talk to about it again is the devil when he comes to try to tell me I didn't get anything. Make sense? What if we lived this way? What if we lived as though this was true? Because it is. What if we lived in the reality that when I speak to a fever on my child's body, the fever has to go. And if it doesn't go in the first 90 seconds and the devil tells me, it didn't work. Guess what I say? No, by his stripes, I'm healed and my offspring is healed too. Praise God, let's go to the park. What if we just lived like the transaction was done? Yeah. Faith without works is dead.
That's right.
Amen. Do you know what happened this morning? I'm done. I'm going to close. You should be happy that I closed because I had two more scriptures to go to, but we're not going to do that. You know what happened this morning? I got home about 11:15 last night. I worked late. I got up this morning and I was coughing. My throat was dry. I said, man, I don't know if I can sing this morning. I sure don't feel like preaching. I'd love to lay in bed and look at Instagram all morning long. I'd love to get out of bed, fix myself some very carby breakfast, eat a couple dozen waffles, sit on the couch, watch a soccer rerun, get up about 11:30, maybe go outside for a bit. Boy, that would be a great Sunday morning. Have a nice cup of coffee. But you know what I did? I decided to act healed. I didn't feel healed this morning. I woke up and I felt like poo. I woke up this morning, I felt like poo because I went to bed super late. I got home super late and I get up super early on Sunday mornings. My alarm went off and I thought, oh Lord. Matter of fact, at first I didn't know what day it was. And then I realized what day it was and I said, oh gosh, it's Sunday. Yeah, I got to preach. I thought, I don't want to. But I just did anyway because faith without works is dead. If you're waiting for the manifestation to show up, if you're waiting for the package to arrive from Amazon, and guess what? It's not going to arrive. If you're waiting for it to arrive before you start acting like you got it, it ain't going to happen. Faith without works is dead. We have to, just like that preacher, he said, I didn't feel like laughing. I put it on. Just did it by faith, right? I didn't feel like getting up, but I did anyways because faith without works is dead. And when I got here, I sang and I preached and I got sweaty and I shouted and we have a good time. Why? Because I'm good? No, it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the fact that this is the victory that has overcome the world already, and it's our faith. And if we'll just learn to act on it, just take just one step. If what you're believing for is 10 feet in front of you, you're not going to get there just by standing here. Just believe by faith and just take one step. And then after you've taken that one step, just take another step and act like you already got it, man. Act like the promise is yours. Act like the package has already arrived. And guess what? Before you know it, you'll have a package. There'll be a knock at the door and look, it's the UPS guy. Here it is. It's arrived. And then you could start to use it. You could use those razor blades and shave your face. Sorry for my terrible analogies. You've got to act like it's so. Because let me say this. I was thinking about Isaiah 53 this week. The Bible says, by Jesus' stripes, we were healed. In Isaiah 53, the word were is there. It's past tense. We were healed. What's amazing to me is that that is a prophetic word speaking of Jesus who wouldn't come for another 800 years. Isaiah is writing past tense about something that won't happen for 800 years. What does that tell you? Time is irrelevant when it comes to the promises of God. If you believe, you receive. When you pray, time itself has to yield. Time itself has to adjust to the promise of God. Let's stand up to our feet. Father, we believe you. We trust you. We thank you that the entrance of your word today has brought light into our lives. We thank you that your grace is sufficient to meet every need, to establish every promise, to make every word come to pass that you've spoken in our lives. Today, we take hope, we take refuge in the fact that you're a good God. You're a God who loves us. You're a God who cares for us. You're a God who has meeting all of our needs, who's met all of our needs before we ever even asked. Lord, you know what our needs are before we even ask you. That's how good you are. You've already provided for us. You saw the need before we even knew that we had it, Father, and you already created a way. You already provided everything that we need. So today, by faith, we take it. We believe, we receive all the promises that you've made for us. If you're believing God for something in your life, it doesn't matter how big or how small it is. If you're believing God for your next paycheck, or if you're believing God for a house, if you're believing God for cancer to be removed off of your body or somebody you love, if you're believing for anything, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive. If that's you, lift up your hand towards heaven and receive it today. Just as an act of faith, just say, Father, I believe and I receive the answer to this prayer in the name of Jesus. The answer to whatever it is that you believe. If you need a new job, if you need a new house, if you need peace in your relationships, if you need healing in your child's body, just believe you receive it today. Take it by faith. Take it by faith. Say, Father, I believe, I receive, and it's done in Jesus' name. And then don't touch it. Don't talk to God about it anymore. Believe you receive it now. And when the devil comes to tell you, oh, that preacher's crazy. Because let me tell you something, it's going to happen. Sometime today, the devil will come and whisper in your ear, you didn't get it. That's a bunch of baloney. You didn't get it. When he does that, you just remind him that there's a name that's above every name. You don't have to talk to God about whatever it is you just believed him for, because it's done. You believe, you receive, you're gonna have it. Don't turn loose of your faith. Stay in faith, believe God for that thing. Just don't stop believing. I do believe that that band got it right. Don't stop believing. And don't talk to God. Don't complain about the problem anymore. Just tell the devil when he shows up and tries to get you to believe that it didn't happen and that you didn't receive anything, just tell him to shut up. Tell him to shut up. It's one of my favorite things to say to the devil. Shut up. Tell him, be quiet. I am who the Bible says I am. I have what the Bible says belongs to me. Devil, you're a loser and a liar. I believed, I received, and I shall have. If it's healing in your body, I want to encourage you, go to the Bible, go to the Word. Go to the Word. Look at there are hundreds of scriptures in the Bible that promise that God is the God who heals us. Go to Exodus chapter 15. Go to Isaiah chapter 53. Go to Psalm 103. Go to 1 Peter 2, 24. Read the Gospels. Nobody who ever came to Jesus asking him to heal them, nobody was ever turned away. He healed everybody. He did not stop at one person and say, I can't heal you. I won't heal you. It's not my will. God's trying to teach you a lesson. He never said that kind of stuff to people. We make that kind of stuff up. Jesus never said those things. Every person that came to him with faith left healed. So, Father, we believe that we receive. Whatever things we pray for, whatever things we're desiring, we believe that we receive them.
We hope that this message inspired you and filled your heart with faith. If you would like to visit our church, check out www.highcountrychristian.com for service times and location information. Thanks again for listening to this audio presentation from High Country Christian Church, where Jesus loves you, we love you, and your life counts.